Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, a day in the life of a veterinarian, the benefits of pet ownership, and what to do if your dog escapes. From Pet Tales Winter 2017 edition, we'll start with A Day in the Life of a Veterinarian by Joshua Pietzold of Monroe Veterinarian Associates. We usually play music, Dr. Ken Scheider said, looking over his patient on the operating table, but the only music in the room for this operation would be the steady beeps coming from the machines monitoring his patient's vitals and the shuffling of Sarah Lewis, LVT, as she assists with the procedure. This operation, however, wasn't on a human. On the table was a young boxer whose owners had dropped him off at Parenton Veterinary Hospital that morning for a routine neuter. "You're a new man," Dr. Scheider joked as he wrapped up the surgery and closed his incision. He had finished with time to spare from his initial estimate. After he wrapped up, Lewis stopped in with a laser therapy machine she had pulled in from outside the room. She took the tool and began to laser the area where Dr. Scheider had closed. This was an extra step to promote healing around the incision. After she had held the laser over the area for 39 seconds, she then got a warming blanket ready for the dog, as anesthesia causes a dog's blood pressure and body temperature to drop. Dr. Scheider stepped out of the operating room and began to make his way back to his office. Normally, after a procedure and after a dog wakes up happy and healthy again, he calls the owners to let them know everything has gone all right. "I think you would be surprised by how much time we spend on the phone," he said. "Mondays and Wednesdays are surgery days, and he had two more surgeries scheduled for the morning. His next patient was already being prepped for their procedure, an oral assessment and treatment by the hospital's team of veterinary technicians and assistants. There's a whole process that doesn't involve the doctor at all," Dr. Scheider explained as the team worked. "I'll write up the anesthesia protocol for the case, and they will draw up and give the drugs, intubate the patient, shave any fur, and start the anesthesia process. Once the patient's ready for surgery, they call me, and I'll go do my part, and then the team does the recovery aspect of it. The hospital's team has been together for years, and it shows. I think one of the things that's great about our hospital is the family atmosphere we have with one another," Dr. Scheider said. "If you're not having fun at work, it makes coming to work painful. Everybody has a lot of mutual respect for each other." After he's finished with surgeries for the morning, Dr. Scheider then has regular appointments from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock p.m. After 5, he takes the time to make more phone calls and catch up with clients and paperwork before seeing more appointments from 6 to 8 p.m., completing his 12-hour day. "I think having every day being different is nice, just because it's not the same old," he explained. "One day we're doing orthopedic surgery, then another day we're doing soft tissue surgery. Every day is different, so you never know what you're going to be getting into." He has been working at Parenton for nearly 5 years and has seen his fair share of animal health issues. "We had a dog not too long ago that was hit by a motorcycle. He had severe trauma, as you can imagine, and required a lot of intensive care and technical staff and assistants to take care of him. He was here for 5 days before he was stable enough to undergo surgery to get his leg amputated. But he made it through, and the owner said he's doing well." For Dr. Scheider, it's being able to help animals when they need it most that makes the job worth it. "You get the animals that come in really sick, like a parvo puppy, and you and your team work hard to make them better. You get to see them go home, and it's always really rewarding," he said. The entire parent and team works together to make recovery possible for hundreds of animals from the area. It's a task that requires long hours, dedication, and a love for their furry patients. As doorbells chimed throughout the treatment room, one chime meant that a doctor's appointment had arrived, two meant an appointment for a technician. Dr. Scheider's next patient sat nervously in their cage. The day's surgery cases are kept in the treatment room before starting their operation so that the team can easily get them ready for their procedure. "I saw your tail wagging," a technician said sweetly as she took the dog out, and the process started again. Sedation, IV catheter, and anesthesia. There won't be a break for the veterinary team this morning, and working through lunch was almost a guarantee. "That's something that separates our hospitals from other hospitals," Dr. Scheider said. "We all have the common goal of taking the best care of our patients." Next from Pet Tales Winter Edition, flea medicine toxicity. "So, the holidays are over," says Amanda Salvidia Wu, DVM, "and your feline friend has given you an unwelcome gift. Fleas. Not only is your cat itchy, but you are too. Fleas have begun to take over your house. Something needs to be done, so you go to your local pet store, department store, or grocery store. Which medication do you choose? There are so many options, from topical medications to shampoos, and the prices can be so varied. It can be overwhelmingly difficult to decide. What do you do?" This is often the scenario that leads to flea medication toxicity in cats. This happens when owners with the best intention of getting rid of a flea infestation accidentally overdose their pets with over-the-counter flea medications. Flea medication toxicity. Why cats? The active ingredient in over-the-counter flea medications that leads to toxicity is a pesticide called permethrin. This is a pesticide that is most commonly found in shampoos, dips, foggers, spot-ons, sprays, and collars for use on dogs. It is also sometimes found in feline products. This pesticide is inexpensive, readily available in over-the-counter products, and easy to get a hold of, but can also be toxic. Cats are much more sensitive to permethrin compared to dogs because they have very minimal ability to metabolize the pesticide, making it easier for them to overdose. Cats typically experience toxicity when they are given dog flea medications or an inappropriate dose of a cat flea medication. They can also experience toxicity if they groom or cuddle a dog that has been given a topical flea medication with permethrin in it. The pesticide is a neurotoxin, which is how it kills fleas, but it can also be detrimental for cats. Affected cats will tremble, shake uncontrollably, vomit, and interact less with their environment. This can progress to severe muscle spasms, seizures, difficulty breathing, and loss of body control. Untreated permethrin toxicity can lead to death. Clinical signs can show up within an hour and worsen rapidly with time. "My cat was given the wrong flea medication. Now what?" If topical flea medication or collar is put on your cat, you need to remove the product as soon as possible. Take the collar off and give them a warm water bath with a dish soap. It is important to use dish soap, as collars and topical medications are greasy and will wash off best with dish soaps like Dawn. Call or bring your pet to a veterinarian immediately for additional treatment. Treatment from your veterinarian will include things such as muscle relaxants, anti-seizure medications, intravenous fluids, and medication to bind and pull the toxicity out of their system if your pet is severely affected. Will my cat be okay? Well, the good news is that with veterinary treatment, cats will usually recover within a couple of days and do not experience any ill effects long term. However, your pet's best chance is to immediately remove the flea product from their skin with a dish soap bath and seek veterinary attention. If you do not have dish soap at home or are unable to bathe your cat, skip the bath and immediately bring them to the closest veterinarian. Because permethrin products are so readily available over the counter and toxicity is a medical emergency that can be fatal, it is recommended to avoid giving over-the-counter flea products to cats. Always consult your veterinarian prior to giving your pet medications. They can help you choose appropriate flea products and avoid dangerous medications. Next, what to do when your dog escapes. First, from the dog's perspective, the sun was bright today. I loved when the sun was bright. It warmed up my fur and made me feel like a puppy again. I wanted desperately to go outside and sun myself. I shifted anxiously by the back door, whining for my owner's attention. I didn't know what she could possibly be doing that was more important than my needs. Impatiently, I darted through the house looking for her. She wasn't in the living room. She wasn't in the kitchen. I lifted up my nose to smell her out, but it was pointless. The whole house smelled like her. I made my way to the back door. It was different than the other doors in the house. It slid instead of swung, and it was made out of a material that I could see through. I forgot what my owner called it. It rhymed with grass. I pawed at the crack in the door frame between the door and the wall. Sometimes I could open it. To my pleasure, the door nudged ever so slightly. Excited now, I pawed faster until there was enough room for my head to fit through. I poked my head out, enjoying the sudden rush of smells. Fresh grass, leaves, pool water, squirrels, kids on bikes. I could smell them all. Suddenly, sunning myself wasn't my top priority. I wanted to see everything. Pushing the door open the rest of the way with my body, I ran outside. There was a fence around my yard that my owner had put up when I was a puppy. I didn't like it much. It blocked all my views. I'd been digging a hole that she didn't know near the back door, near the back corner. Today, I felt like the day to finish my handiwork. The absolute best way to handle your dog escaping is to be prepared for it. Make sure that you train them to come on command and create a list of emergency phone numbers of people or groups, shelter, vet's office, animal control, etc., who can help you look for your dog. However, even the best preparations can be forgotten in a moment of panic. Here are three things to do immediately if your dog gets loose. First, don't chase them. For some dogs, getting chased by a bunch of people can be terrifying. For others, it can be a super fun race that never ends. Instead of chasing, it's best to walk or jog calmly but still quickly while keeping them in sight. Two, start calling. If you don't see your dog in the immediate area, start calling the list of numbers you created. Notify the local shelter, in your case, in case your dog is turned in. Call animal control in case they pick up your dog and spot him while making their rounds. Call your vet's office, your neighbors, anyone who can potentially help look for your dog. And three, stay calm. If you're in a panic, it will make finding your dog and bringing him home even harder. While you are doing everything else to bring your dog home, the most important thing to keep in mind is to stay calm. Next. Love on Four Legs, The Health Benefits of Pet Ownership by Melissa Erickson in Pet Tales Winter Edition 2017. Pets make their owners feel special, but the benefits of pet ownership are so much more than unconditional love and someone to greet you at the door when you arrive home. There's much research that shows owning a pet makes people happier and more physically healthy. Recognizing this, modern pet owners want their animals to feel special too. Young Americans are less likely to be homeowners or parents than previous generations, but one category they lead in is pet ownership, said Brandy Gonzalez, pet lifestyle expert for Rover, a services site for dog owners. They shower their dogs with attention and splurge on expensive gifts because their dog is their best friend. And they want to be their dog's best friend, too. Not surprisingly, all this love and affection leads to a variety of benefits, according to a recent Rover survey on dog ownership. 94% of pet owners consider their dog family. 29% post more photos of their dog on social media than of their family, friends, or themselves. 79% of people said they would include their dog in family moments like holiday cards, vacations, and marriage proposals. More than 25% of pet parents have brought their pet on a date, and 3 out of 4 dog owners have used their dog or a dog video as a pick-me-up when they're having a rough day. In addition to increasing a person's well-being and outlook, owning a cat or dog brings plenty of health benefits. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, pets can decrease blood pressure and cholesterol levels, as well as feelings of loneliness. One study of older men and women found that owning a cat or dog helped maintain or even slightly enhance their activities of daily living score. Pets can also increase your opportunities for exercise and outdoor activities. And now, for the portion of the program I like to call, Don't Eat That. Dog and cat diet myth busting. In an article in the Huffington Post entitled What Foods Can't Dogs and Cats Eat by Juliet Steen, Dog and Cat Diet Myth Busting. Steen tells us which myths are true and which are not. Our first myth is, 1, cats can't eat dog food, but dogs can eat cat food. This is true. Cats need an additional protein, taurine, in their feed. Dogs manufacture their own, according to Joanne Silens, managing director at Pets Australia. Myth number two is grain-free food is good. That's false. Dogs are actually only semi-carnivores, and balancing diets with grains, particularly for fiber, is a good thing. High-protein, all-meat diets can result in smelly poo, constipation, and pressure on kidneys if fine balancing isn't undertaken. A cat's tolerance to grain is a lot lower than dogs, but remember that prey, rabbits, mice, rats, birds, and small mammals almost universally have grains and seeds in their guts. It's all about balance. 3, homemade diets are good. Also false. Almost all are unbalanced in calcium to phosphorus ratio and vitamin to mineral ratios, and many are low fiber as well. 4, dogs can eat vegetarian diets. Well, that's partially true. These are often unbalanced unless all ratios are carefully managed, and you need the computer program to get it right. 5, cats can eat vegetarian diets. A big false. Cats are obligate carnivores and need high-quality protein from meat sources, including taurine, and often B2 as well, for optimal health. Vets get sick vegetarian or vegan animals presented every year. It's cruelty if the animal is not fed proper food. I respect the right of humans to choose diets based on philosophy, but pets don't have choices. 6, treats can be given in moderation. Partially false. The vast majority of treats contain excess salt or sugar. A small piece of cheese or an egg is a better treat. 7, chicken wings are okay as treats. This is false. The bones in chicken wings are prone to splintering and piercing internal organs. And 8, table scraps are okay for dogs. Often true. Oddly enough, different table scraps over time can result in a relatively balanced diet, but not bones, no onions, and no large vegetables. Cut them up. You can find the complete article, What Foods Can't Dogs and Cats Eat, by Juliet Steen at HuffingtonPost.com. From Catster, cat kneading. Is your cat nursing on herself, blankets, or other objects? Should you worry? I adopted my Cornish Rex, says Stacy Hackett. Carson, when he was about 4 months old, he was a sweet, affectionate kitten, Carson was, but he had an unusual behavior. He would suck on his chest and stomach, most often in situations where it seemed he wanted to comfort himself, particularly when he was adjusting to his new home. When I asked my vet about the behavior, he said that it was likely caused by Carson being weaned a bit early. He advised me to keep an eye on the behavior to ensure Carson wasn't making himself bleed or severely irritating his skin. In my case, the most damage my cat ever caused was to make the fur on his chest and stomach really damp. So what's up with the cat nursing behaviors, and when should you worry? Let's take a look. Wool sucking. The name most commonly used to describe Carson's behavior is wool sucking, as the kittens who engage in this activity may suck on items such as sweaters and blankets, hence the wool in the name, as well as shoelaces, ribbons, and other fabric-like items, including carpet. The kitten might also suck on himself, as in Carson's case, or another animal's tail. Wool sucking typically indicates that a kitten was separated from his mother too early, explains Marilyn Krieger, a certified cat behavior consultant and author of Naughty No More. But there are other reasons for the behavior, she says. Separation anxiety and stress can also trigger cats to wool suck and nurse. A few stressors include sudden changes, new pets, and neighborhood cats. Other events like too many pets in the home or the sudden absence of a family member, such as through a divorce or a young adult moving out of the home, can also trigger the behavior. Don't worry. As my veterinarian mentioned with Carson, a cat nursing himself typically does not cause himself any harm. Krieger says that most kittens outgrow the behavior as they mature. Most cats will gradually stop nursing after they are introduced to solid food, she explains. Kittens should remain with their moms until they are 12 weeks old. Some will continue to try to nurse on their mom, but will eventually grow out of it. Should you be concerned? Wool sucking can become more serious if the kitten or cat prefers to suck on fabric items. There is a danger of chewing and ingesting the material, possibly resulting in an intestinal blockage, Krieger says. She also cautions owners to be concerned if the behavior extends past the cat's first year of life. It's important to determine the reasons behind the self-comforting behavior, she explains. Owners should first have the cat evaluated by a veterinarian. Although substituting something that is safer for the cat to suck can help, it's important to identify and deal with the source of the stress. In addition to identifying and dealing with the triggers, people can also can help through enriching the cat's environment. Krieger cautions against trying to force a cat to stop wool sucking. It creates more anxiety and stress for the cat, she says. What about kneading? Another behavior associated with cat nursing is kneading. In our house, we call this activity the kitty dance, as it looks like the cat is practicing a feline tango routine. Jack, my 9-year-old red tabby, is the most frequent dancer in our household and often performs this activity on a soft pillow on our couch just before curling up for a nap. Krieger explains that kneading often accompanies wool sucking and cat nursing and is another self-comforting behavior. For example, kittens need when they are nursing to help stimulate their mother's milk production. Feral cousins of our household kittens often need to make a soft place amongst the vegetation for napping, Krieger says. One theory states that kneading is also one of the ways that cats might mark their territories. They have scent glands on the bottom of their paws. When they knead, they are activating those glands and leaving their scent. Don't worry, kneading generally is recognized as a way cats express their happiness, and many cats will continue to knead throughout their lives, as Jack likes to demonstrate on almost a daily basis. In fact, cats almost always purr when they knead and may even involve all four paws in the rhythmic up and down activity. Be concerned, but only for yourself. Many cats associate their owner's laps with happiness and may begin to knead while relaxing with their humans. The happier your cat becomes with this situation, however, the more intense the kneading may become. And if your cat involves his claws in the activity, it could become a bit painful for you. And friends, yes, my little kitty Daisy loves to knead, and it does get a little pinchy sometimes. From Pet Tales 2017 Winter Edition, Ask a Vet. The question is, my veterinarian keeps telling me that my dog needs to lose weight. Is it really a big deal if he is a few pounds overweight? And the answer from Rebecca Neely, DVM. Yes, obesity in our pets is a big concern. Just as we see an increase in overweight people, we are seeing an increase in obese pets. Obesity is defined as weighing 30% more than the ideal weight. You can assess whether your pet is too heavy if you observe the following. Ribs are difficult to feel and have a moderate fat cover. From side view, no abdominal tuck or waist. And from overhead view, the back is slightly broadened. Cats and dogs are just as susceptible to health issues related to carrying extra weight as we are. The diseases we tend to see more commonly in obese patients are type 2 diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, and metabolic issues. All of these can decrease the quality of your pet's life. As we all know, it is very easy to overeat. Your pet relies on you to monitor their diet. Many of the excess pounds are gained from feeding table scraps and too many treats. These extra goodies do nothing but add extra calories and could be doing more harm than good. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. And please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.